From listener-supported KTOO, welcome to Juno Afternoon, broadcasting live from the homelands of the Occoquan and on demand as a podcast. It's Thursday, August 29th, 2024. I'm your host, Boston Christopher. Gunath Cheesh, Hawa, Tuxuk Nusum, Salamat. Thank you for joining the conversation. On today's show, Perseverance Theater opens its season next week with a world premiere, Cold Case, by Kathy Tagnach Rexford. We'll talk with the author, cast, and creative team about this new work. A preview of the Sitka Jazz Tour, which is coming to Juno this Monday, Labor Day, for three shows, and updates with the Juno Chamber of Commerce. Those conversations and more coming up this hour on Juno Afternoon.
You're listening to KTOO's Tlingit Word of the Week. This week's word comes from Keishi Besikuli. The word this week is teeth.
Teeth.
That means chum or dog salmon. And here's a sentence.
Teeth to this lind, dach uk arch, yes, yut.
Dog salmon too. They swim to Teslin in the fall. Let's hear it again.
Teeth.
Chum or dog salmon. Gunash jish to chune Lance Twitchell, Goldbelt Heritage Foundation, and the University of Alaska Southeast for this audio.
Keishi Besikuli is Kokhetan and a child of a Yenyedi man. She is from Daislin and grew up spending time in Teslin. She earned a master's degree in Indigenous Languages and Linguistics from Simon Fraser University and interviewed many speakers for the Hashagun language series. She is currently translating projects for the Children of the Takhu Society.
Tune in next week for another Tlingit Word of the Week from KTOO.
Support from Hanson Gress. Seeking curious people who like technology, network engineering, and customer support. Opportunities for those who thrive on problem solving. Details at hansongress.com/careers.
You're listening to community-supported Juno Afternoon on KTOO at 104.3 Juno, 91.7 Juno Auk Bay, and online at ktoo.org. I'm your host, Boston Christopher. A note before we begin, the following discussion may include conversation about missing and murdered Indigenous peoples, domestic violence, and other issues around these topics. Please be advised. An Inupiaq woman in rural Alaska fights to recover her aunt's body from an Anchorage morgue in a new world premiere play, Cold Case, which opens Perseverance Theater's season next week on Friday, September 6th. It will run both in Juneau and Anchorage. For more information, you can visit ptalaska.org. And I am joined now in studio by Delana Studi, director of the production, Newtok Simmons, one of the actors, and Kylie Ferguson, staff member at Perseverance. We also have on the line Kathy Tagnach Rexford, author of the play, who I believe is currently up in Anchorage. And also, full disclosure, I am a cast member in this production as well, playing various voices throughout the production, including a radio DJ. So anyway, Gunath Cheesh, Hai Yeyadi, thank you so much. It's a pleasure to have you all in the studio and online. Wasa Iyati, how's it going?
Really well, thank you.
Good. It's good to have you all here. Thank you so much for being in the studio. And I know that you're still a little over, I guess we are a little over a week away from opening and the tech is beginning. And that's always a crazy time in the theater. Lots of things going on. But Kathy Tagnach, I wanted to start with you as the author of the play. Will you share an overview of the story of this play?
Sure, yeah, Koyanuk for having me today. So this story, at its most simplest form, as you said, is the story of a woman who is in a small village who is enduring a winter storm. She's desperately trying to locate first her aunt who has gone missing, and the play really follows her trajectory of that mission as well. She is with her Aka, with her grandmother, who also is along for the ride.
Okay, nice. Now, what was the seed that began the journey of this play for you?
Oh, that's a good question. I think a couple of things come to mind. And one is that I have an uncle, Lloyd Nangayak, who was murdered some years ago. And he was one of my favorite uncles. And so that sort of sudden and violent loss really stayed with me. And I guess, as they say, you know, you kind of work out things, traumatic things sometimes through your art. And so that was definitely the case for me with this. As well, I think I started writing this play when my son was 6 years or 6 months old. He's 6 years old now. And I was a new mom and sort of was doing all the things at once. And so I definitely see that reflected in this play as well. Yeah.
That's awesome. And I know that this play was developed over a little bit of time. You had some readings and some workshops. Can you tell us about the development of the play and how that progressed for you?
Sure. Yeah. So it was, I believe it was in 2017, Perseverance Theater had formed a new program called the Playwrights Circle. And there were a small number of us that assembled actually in Vera Bedard's living room in Anchorage. And that's where this play got its start. And there was a public reading of what we all had worked on in that intensive week together. And then there were, I think there were two or three readings of Zoom readings, I guess, not stage readings, Zoom readings, throughout the years that Perseverance held at the culmination of another week's worth of workshops. And so a variety of directors, a variety of actors have come and gone. Newtalk was definitely one who was in it in the very beginning. And then there was also a mini workshop and a reading of this play in New York City, maybe a couple years ago, that Leslie directed as well.
Cool. That's a great process.
And now we're here.
And now we're here, almost opening night of this world premiere play. That's so awesome. So, Delana, I want to welcome you into the studio here, Delana Studi. She's the artistic director at Native Voices, a theater in Los Angeles that focuses on Indigenous stories. And you are directing this piece. What struck you about this piece and compelled you to direct it?
Oh my goodness, that's a great question. I've always been a fan of Tugnuk's work. I've just followed Tugnuk. I know so many stories about her from friends and just all the plays. And so I saw the first reading of this online and I fell in love with it instantly. It's such a beautifully complex story that captures, you know, the spirit of family, but also the bureaucracy of trying to find a loved one and how the system is stacked against you. And ever since I read the play, I started thinking of a phrase I had heard a long time ago about how access is the most hoarded luxury. And that's what stuck with me as I was reading the play. And so I was very grateful that that the schedule and the stars aligned so I could actually direct this, because we've been talking about this off and on for the past couple of years, I feel. And now it's actually happening.
That's so cool. I think that's really great. And you are here and you'll be going back down to Los Angeles after we open. But then you'll come back to Anchorage when the play transfers up there to sort of remount it for the space in Anchorage. Yeah.
Yes, absolutely.
Okay, cool. And what is the I know there's some interesting things about this play in terms of the technology that we're running up against. I play offstage voices in this play. And what does that mean exactly? Can you describe like sort of the structure of the play?
The structure of the play is it's a play about isolation, and it's a family in a remote part of Alaska, and they're snowed in, they're stuck in a blizzard. It's a woman and her grandmother, and their only access to the outside world is what we all have, our internet, our cell phones, and our landlines and our CB radios. And so how do we make those connections? And honestly, I feel so sorry for the lead character, Joanna, because her life is constantly on hold, and she's trying to have a full life on hold. And how do you do that? And how do we put up with all the trauma that's happening, all the tragedies, and locating a lost and loved one? And how do we navigate the systems that don't really advocate for you or on your behalf? And so the play is, it's in and out of what's going on in her living room, in the kitchen, but also what's going on online. Like she's talking to cousins and friends and, constantly on hold with different organizations trying to find her auntie. And so we kind of get stuck in that that limbo, if you will, with her. And we get to feel her frustrations. In fact, I feel like our frustrations grow along with hers.
I see. Okay, cool. That's really great. And New Talk, Tugnock mentioned you, that you've been part of this process since the beginning, and you play in some of the developmental readings and everything, and you play Akamari. Can you tell us a little bit about Akamari and who she is?
Yes, Akamari is the grandmother of the lead person.
Of Joanna. Yeah, you're all
Joanna.
Good. Yeah.
And she's living with me, and I'm just a grumpy old lady. I'm just trying to be there for Joanna, and just wishing that my daughter Magnolia was home.
Mm.
And many times taking it out on poor Joanna, who's trying to get her auntie home.
Mm. And will you tell us a little bit about your background and where you're from?
I'm from Utqiagvik. My name is Nutak, and my legal name is Doreen Simmons. Born and raised up there, so I know the problems of trying to get, anywhere when there's a big blizzard going. In fact, I've seen snow about 10, 15 feet high after a blizzard. And it's really hard to try and get some places.
Mm.
No planes coming in.
Wow. Yeah, because that's part of the structure of this play is that there's a big storm and they're snowed mm-hmm. in and they can't get out. And and so and that sort of the isolation that comes with that. And you're saying you sort mm-hmm. of recognize that as something mm-hmm. that you've experienced when there's a big snowstorm and you're sort of stuck in, right? You can't get out.
Mm-hmm.
And then I know in the play, there's also issues of like phones not working very well or the internet going down or, is that kind of what happens?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. That's amazing.
That
and
has
so that,
happened.
And that sense of like struggle against that. Right. So mm-hmm. to find that. And Delaina, we should also mention who else is in the play. I mean, I know I said I'm in the play, but who else is in the play?
We have the amazing Aaron Tripp. We have Jennifer Quinto and Frank Cash Katas.
Okay, great. That's awesome. Yeah. So that's, and some of those people are playing offstage voices and as well. And it's kind of a really, it's like a tour de force for the two of you on stage, doing all the things and these, and then dealing with all this technology and these struggles. And I don't want to give away some of the fun bits, because there are some fun bits in here in terms of your sort of your boyfriend. And there's a great scene that we'll leave for the audience is to discover.
My imaginary boyfriend. Yeah.
It's a really cute part of the process. And the struggle of, you know, the other part of it is the struggle of getting out through the technology. And also, like you said, Delana, dealing with sort of the bureaucracy of the runaround, the red tape, and all of those things that happen. Can you tell me, New Talk, a little bit about what it was like for the development of this process?
Oh, I was excited when I was asked to be part of this play here.
Okay.
But I had no idea that it was going to be this much. I mean, this much.
Theater's hard.
Theater's hard.
I've never been in a play like this. My first play ever was when I was in kindergarten about 100 years ago.
Oh, my goodness. But you recently came back to some acting, right? You were on some television shows recently.
Yes, for the first time ever. I was in True Detectives, and also just finished 4 months in Iqaluit, Nunavut, Canada, helping being an actor for, it's a play. I mean, it's a show called North of North.
North of North?
Arctic comedy.
Oh, a comedy.
Yes.
Oh, you are very funny in the bits I've seen. In the opportunity that Tognak gives you in this play to be funny, it's very enjoyable to see you being humorous in this play. And that's really good. And Kylie, I want to welcome you into the conversation as well. Will you right now, I know we're talking about the Cold Case world premiere. You're listening to Juno Afternoon. And I would love for Kylie to give us kind of the rundown of the information about when it is and where it is and all that kind of stuff.
Oh, yes. You can find us out on South Douglas at the Perseverance Theater. We are going to be performing September 6th through September 22nd. We do performances Thursday through Sunday. And if you want to buy tickets, you can find it at ptalaska.org. Or if you want to put a group together of you and 6 to 7 of your closest friends, you can email boxoffice@ptalaska.org for a 20% discount on tickets.
I love that. All the good salesmanship right there. And I think we should also mention the pay-as-you-can performances. Those are always very popular and provide accessibility to those who may not be able to afford a full-price ticket.
Of course. So we actually have 3 pay-as-you-can performances. The first one is going to be on Sunday, September 8th. The next one is Thursday, September 12th. And our last one is Sunday, September 15th.
Okay, great.
And that one also comes with an audience talkback with Aware.
Oh, okay. We have talkbacks. I didn't know this. This is good. Can you tell us a little bit about those?
Yeah. So an audience talkback is where we invite our audience members to stay with us a little bit after the show to talk through some of our processes of bringing this show to life, but also some of the topics and big feelings that might come up as audience members when we watch the show.
Okay, cool. And you said there's going to be with Aware.
Yes. We're really lucky to be partnering with Aware on Sunday, September 15th, and on Thursday, September 19th.
Awesome. That's great. I know we just had, for the cast, I know we went through this stalker training that Jenny Brown had done. And then that was also offered to the community last week. And there might be some more on that coming down the line as well. So there's all kinds of things in and around these topics, right, that are so right at the forefront right now. And Delana, can you talk a little bit about that in terms of the little bit more about the theme of the play and sort of what we're dealing with and kind of how we're bringing this awareness to a public who might be watching this play?
Yes. So this play is mostly about Magnolia. And so it really centers on the murdered and missing Indigenous women, girls, people, and relatives issue that's been affecting a lot of Indigenous people, not just in Alaska, but across Indian country as we know it. And how do you go through the system to find your loved one when they're missing? And I also feel like it also talks about how when our people do go missing, it doesn't seem like anyone's doing a lot to help the family out. It's usually up to the family to do all the groundwork themselves. And I think that's what Kathy has captured so beautifully in this play, is that it is a family story about all the struggles they have to go through just to locate the body of their loved one. And then just how do we get that home in a blizzard whenever the whole system is stacked against it? We also encounter other predatory behaviors online, which I think is really affecting a lot of people right now. We think that when you go online, it's a safe space because you're safe in your own location. They're in their location. But yet there are always people out there that are looking to do harm. And we encounter a little bit of that in the play with our main character, Joanna. She experiences some online problems. I won't go into too many details. What starts out as like a friendly flirtation turns into a threat towards the end. And so how does she navigate that as well as looking for her auntie? And then, of course, you know, we throw in the fact that this is a family that snowed in together and no one knows how to push your buttons more than family. So, and when you are confined to the same space, it gets tense real fast. And what is that like? Yeah. And so, you know, it's about MIW, but it's also about communication. And when we fail at communicating, I think that's what happens a lot in this play, is there's a lot of, we think we're making these connections, but they're actually misconnections. And we think we're being clear in our communication, but so many things are going unsaid.
Yeah, the unsaid, it's really what the theater is all about a lot of times, and sort of highlighting that. And Kathy, the play is called Cold Case. And I want to know, where does the title come from? I think most people may know what a cold case is, but can you tell us a little bit about why you chose that as the title of the piece?
Yeah, a cold case is basically where there is a death. Sometimes, maybe most times, a wrongful death or questionable death. And there is a case, but it is left unsolved. So that's, I guess, a common term for a case that is sort of left cold. It's a cold case. It's left unsolved, left unresolved. And I don't know, I've played around with different titles, but that felt like literally and figuratively the best description of what our family is going through right here.
Well, it's interesting too, because it describes the fact of what happens to a case that isn't solved, but also in this play, they're trying to solve this case, find Magnolia, and it's also cold, right? So it's and the communications are cold, and the weather is cold, and the whole world is cold against poor Joanna and Akamari, and in terms of this struggle and the constant fight, that battle to bring, and it's really, you know, I guess it's about sort of the humanity of it, right? Mm-hmm. New Talk is sort of like the humanity of, you know, we never, you know, there's only two actors on the stage. The other three actors are off the stage providing voices. And this presence of Magnolia, as Delaina said, it's really a play about this woman. And she's present through the whole thing because we're talking about her the whole time, even though she doesn't appear. And, you know, it's like putting a humanity on a character like that. And I think that's just really fascinating. And like the work that you and Aaron are doing as this family unit it sort of brings to light this humanity of what a family is and what loss is and the struggle, because there's also like some what's I find fascinating about it, too, is there's also cultural elements, too, right, in terms of how we speak about death or what we're looking for in terms of, you know, the rites or when we're trying to find someone, what we want to do to honor them. And can you talk a little bit about that in terms of the culture in Inupiaq and in terms of how, you know, we honor those who are missing or who can't be found?
Oh, this play that Kathy has made mirrors so many stories that I've heard from many families and even my own family where we've had trouble with getting our loved one home and not being able to do that on time and not being able to find family members who are missing. It just mirrors, it brings up so many memories of stories I've heard and those in my own life, in my own family's life that we've gone through. And I like the fact of how Kathy brings out the culture and in the way we honor our loved ones.
Yeah, it's really nice.
And
Thank you. Thanks, Cheese, for that. Yeah, it's really a wonderful piece. And it's going to be opening next week, September 6th, at Perseverance out in Douglas. And it runs until the 22nd, I believe. Kylie, is that right?
Yes, it is.
And then it'll run in Anchorage in mid-October. So if you have friends up in Anchorage, you can let them know about the production we'll be coming there. As Kylie mentioned, there's some pay-as-you-can performances, which you can find out on PTAlaska.org. And Kylie, before we go, I'm just curious, is there, can you tell us just quickly what else is coming up at Perseverance this season, since this is the kickoff, but there's other plays that are coming too, right?
Oh, Boston, we've got a great season for you. So up next, we have Full Contact by Ariel Estrada. It's going to have performances in December. And what's really cool is Ariel's from our Alaska community, growing up in Sitka, going to the Sitka Performing Arts Camp. And then what does that process look like of moving to New York in the middle of the AIDS crisis and kind of how Ariel's developed as a human, as a theater maker during that time. So those performances are in December. And in the spring, we have The Thanksgiving Play by Larissa Fasthorse, which was actually just recently on Broadway. So those performances will be in late February and early March.
Awesome. And of course, you can find out more about those plays at ptalaska.org. Well, Gunnath Cheesh for coming in today and telling us all about this fantastic new world premiere play by Tognok. Thank you for joining us, Tognok, all the way from Anchorage. Via technology. Which some of that, the play is a little bit about that. It's a little bit about, it's a lot, it's about a lot of things. But that technology definitely plays into it. And so I can't thank you all enough for coming in today and sharing with us. And I'll see you in a few hours for rehearsal.
Exactly. Well done, Boston. Thank you.
Gunnath Cheesh. Thank you so much. Thank you. Awesome. Right now, we're going to listen to a savory moment. This is From Tundra to Table on Juno Afternoon from KTOO.
Step in to the savory moment. So that tenacious weed with the long fibrous stalk and deep roots you pulled out of the wet spot in your garden last summer, was it about 3 to 4 feet tall with oblong leaves and a red tassel? That was probably a dock plant, also known as sorrel or wild rhubarb. It grows all over Alaska and most notably in the tundra, where sour dock is a traditional Yupik food. If you've never eaten sour dock, you're going to want to after watching the video cooking series Tundra to Table, hosted by Jessica Lewis-Nicori, a high school science teacher in the village of Chifornak near Bethel. Each Tundra to Table episode starts with Jessica and her kids harvesting local superfoods in the tundra. sourdough salmon berries fireweed. Back in Jessica's kitchen, you'll learn to make salads, overnight oats, and a gutuk, a dessert made with tundra greens, wild berries, and seal oil. Even a sourdough smoothie made with fruit, yogurt, and peanut butter. I know, by now you're feeling pretty bummed about yanking out all your dock plants. But don't worry, dock roots are notoriously hard to remove, so it's possible you'll see shoots popping up in the spring. Pick a handful of leaves when they're young and toss them into a salad, leaving the majority on the plant for the duration of the growing season. As with any wild plant, be sure to get a positive ID before consuming your harvest. Consult a seasoned forager or download a plant app like Picture This or Leaf Snap. Find a link to the Tundra to Table video series at savorymoment.org. From the studios of KCAW in Sitka, Alaska, I'm Beth Short Rhodes. Whatever is on your dinner table tonight, may you savor the moment.
Support for Juno Afternoon comes from Heritage Coffee Roasting Company, providing Juno with locally roasted coffee for over 40 years, with cafes and drive-through locations throughout Juno. More at heritagecoffee.com. KTOO would like to acknowledge that we broadcast from the homelands of the Occoquan. The Clan Edi have stewarded this area for thousands of years. Today, our studios sit on a spot once part of the tidelands, now covered over with buildings, roads, and parking lots. We recognize those families who traveled to and from these tidelands to fishing and hunting grounds and to gatherings in other villages and still cherish it as an important part of their way of life for today and for future generations. This is Juno Afternoon from your listener-supported public media station, KTOO. I'm your host, Boston Christopher. It's Sitka Jazz Week over in Sitka. It's a full week jam-packed with jazz. You get to know jazz, how to play jazz, and no matter your experience level, it's billed as a fun, transformative experience. And right at the conclusion of this week, out of that, the Sitka Jazz Tour is making its way to Juneau and beyond. It's happening in Juneau, Monday, September 2nd. There's going to be three performances from 10 to 12 at the Jack, 2 to 3 p.m. at Trinity Church, and at 7:30 p.m. at the Crystal Saloon. And for more information, you can go to sitkajazzweek.com or .org and find out more on that. And unfortunately, we weren't able to connect with them, but I wanted to at least tell you the information so that you could go to it on Monday. That's on Labor Day. It's the Sitka Jazz Tour. And you can find out more by Googling Sitka Jazz Week and join them on Monday at Studio A at the Jack, Trinity Church, or Crystal Saloon. We'll be right back with updates from the Juno Chamber of Commerce. You're listening to Juno Afternoon on KTOO. Listening to Juno Afternoon from Studio 2K at KTOO. I'm your host, Boston Christopher. I'm joined now in studio by Maggie McMillan, Executive Director of the Juno Chamber of Commerce, to talk about some upcoming events and more. Gwyneth Chi, Sha Igudi, thank you so much, Maggie, for joining us. It's a pleasure to see you again. Wasa E.T., how's it going?
Upstairs. I don't know the last time I ran upstairs, so thanks for having me. I'm sorry I came in hot, but it's going great. I'm always happy to be here. It's always nice to be in studio.
Yeah, it's always great to have you in the studio. So let's talk about the chamber. I know you wanted to mention some things, especially as the season starts to change. So let's talk about it.
Yeah, so I really wanted to take this time. We're going back to school. Tourism season is a lot of our seasonal employees have left because they're college students and they're gone. So it was just a time that I wanted to thank our members and businesses in general and the town for welcoming the visitors that they did this summer. It's really important to our economy, and we were really happy to see so many small businesses doing really well this summer because of our visitors returning. So
it's always fun to see, like, to go downtown and like see like the lemonade stand and see, you know, the new food court down there is hopping. Dave's done a great job with that food court area, and Pucker Wilson's has a third location in there, and there's, you can get ice cream there, and there's just so many great little pop-ups that happen. You know, obviously there's the staples like Tracy's and things like that, but then these other ones where people see entrepreneurial opportunity, right? And they create something, and it starts as a small business, you know, like Chad at Pucker Wilson's. It started with a little one right across the street here, over at the Jack, and now it's ballooned up into, you know, probably one of the best burgers, at least in the state, if not further beyond.
There's so many small businesses like that that are like at Juno Tours, right? We see their buses everywhere. Yeah. That's a family-owned business. It's a small business. A brother and sister run that business.
Right, right.
And they started with a cab, and now they have, I don't even know how many buses, and I think 7 whale-watching boats. They hire people. They house people year-round. Our small businesses have really good impacts on our economy and our community year round. And I just really wanted to thank them today.
That's awesome. I always thought it would be kind of cool. I never did it, but I always thought it would have been cool to do, like, to be a tour guide and to learn all of the different things. And yeah, you have to say it 100 times a day. But to be able to be entrenched in the land like that, to be entrenched in the area and be out on the water, to be on one of those whale watching tours as a worker and get to see so much of the, you know, the
imagine
bubble.
Imagine that's your office.
I mean, that would be pretty cool.
I mean, you have a really cool office.
I have
office,
a nice office. Yeah, like, yeah.
But like, I moved up to Alaska as a seasonal worker, and I worked in Glacier Bay, and like being able to tell that story was really important to me for a long time. So I learned a lot about this place and the culture, and I'm really grateful for that time. And I think a lot of young people who come up here as guides have very similar experiences.
Yeah, it's a cool opportunity. The other thing I didn't do is I never worked at a fish camp. You know, I had a lot of friends in college who would go away for the summer, work at a fish processing camp, make, you know, they'd come back and be like, you don't want to know how much I made? And I'm like, dang it, what did I do? You know, I didn't do nothing.
No, but you also didn't have to smell fish all summer. I'm allergic to fish, so I can't work.
Oh, you can't do that. Oh, yeah.
I imagine whenever I see the old school pictures of men standing on giant piles of fish, just like the smell, smell that photo.
I can't even imagine. I prefer not to, actually. Okay, so I know that there's some cool, fun, upcoming events, and one of them is like a week from Saturday.
Yeah, so we are a nonprofit at the Chamber, and so we operate by fundraising. So every year we have a party when we pull our winning raffle ticket. So we raffle off a truck every year, and we have a giant party for it coming up on September 7th. You don't even have to have a raffle ticket to attend. We support the Taffy Dance team. We ask them to come out. We get all the food donated for them, but they run a grill and it's donations. They also run our cotton candy machine. We have music. We have, well, it's just fun. It's a lot of fun. And at 12 o'clock, they pull the winning ticket and someone wins a truck. So that's pretty exciting.
What kind of truck is that?
It's a Chevy Silverado 1500.
Okay.
It's a $52,000 truck.
What?
Yeah, it's pretty cool. We do it once a year. It's our biggest annual fundraiser.
Wow. And are the tickets, can you still get a raffle ticket?
Yes, they're available on our website, junochamber.com. And okay, they're $50, which I think is a great price point for a $52,000 prize.
I can't even do the math on that in terms of the return on investment, right? The ROI, as they would say in the biz.
And you're not only winning a truck, you would be supporting your chamber, which is the voice of the business community here in Juneau. So
that's really a win-win, nice.
I like to think.
That's cool. And it's a cool party that's happening. You said it starts at noon, or no, it starts before that.
Yeah. So we have the radio, KINY sets up a remote for us, and they will be out there starting at 10 o'clock. And so we'll be there from 10 until we pull the winning ticket at noon. And then it usually is done by 12:30. People are usually ready to be done eating hot dogs and on with the rest of their day.
Yeah, and this is rain or shine, right?
Rain or shine. We'll be out there.
The Taffy Dancers, rain or shine.
Yeah, they put us under the service thing at the Juneau Auto Mall.
So yeah.
Nice. We will be out of the rain.
Okay, cool. Yes. Yeah, because, you know, it's starting to get more rainy now.
I know.
Okay, and then the other huge thing that you have coming, and this is a big deal, right? The annual dinner. Tell us all about the annual dinner.
So the annual dinner is the whole reason I work at the Chamber. I went to school for hospitality, and when they told me I could plan a gala 4 years ago, I said yes. And then COVID happened, and we couldn't do one. So I've gotten to throw three now, and this will be the fourth. And I work with an amazing committee of people. This year, we're doing Blueprints and Bow Ties, a celebration of the building trades. So we have like CCON and Dawson are helping us throw that by being big sponsors. Same with First Bank and a few other awesome businesses that are just like super supportive of our mission of the Chamber. So we're really happy to have them come out. But the most excited thing I am about this year's event is, if you've ever been to the annual dinner, you know that we do a grand entry. So we've had a mining portal. You guys walked under a dock last year for Under the Sea. This year, I'm not going to tell you what's being built, but I will tell you that it's being built by the construction management students at UAS alongside of the kids at the high school as well, the construction kids at the high school. And they're also going to send some apprentices from Dawson. So just a bunch of young people working together to help us create a really awesome entryway.
Okay, hold on a second. This is just the entryway we're talking about, but you have three different groups working on it. So it sounds like a pretty big deal to me.
I think it's pretty special.
Is there any hint that you could give that would get people starting to think about it?
Well, they always go with the theme. So mining, we had a mining portal.
Okay.
And under the sea, you walked under a dock that had fish swimming on each side of you. So this year we're construction themed. What do you think of it?
And when you think, you said blueprints and
bow ties.
Blueprints and bow ties. Yeah. I don't want to guess because I don't want to, you know, ruin it for anybody. But you're saying that it's something that is being constructed by all these folks. Boy, I don't know. It could be I'll throw a few out there. You don't have to. You don't give it away, but I'll just throw a few. A bridge.
Well, that would have been a cool one.
Okay, so it may not be a bridge. I'm thinking it's like blueprints is a really interesting one. Like if it could be like a giant blueprint of something would be kind of cool. That would be really interesting. Like how would that, what would that be? Because obviously you could do like the thing we always see when construction happens, which is like the against a building, they'll put the risers up and things like that. But I think that can't be it. So I don't know. That's kind of fun. That's a good thing to start thinking about. Like, what could it be?
I'm really excited. I think people are going to be very impressed. I met with the UAS folks yesterday and they had plans, and I've never had Jerry Harmon, who is a Juno legend, a miner, and is one of the founders of Gold Rush Days, has historically built my entryways, and Jerry always just makes it work. So when they came with actual blueprints to Centennial Hall yesterday, I was like, you guys fit the theme so well. They had blueprints.
That's so good. That's so awesome. Okay, and so when is the dinner?
The dinner is October 12th, and the reason I wanted to bring it up is that tickets are probably going to go on the sale. Well, I'm leaving for a week, so not next week, but the following Monday, they'll go live. They sell out in 10 minutes. Okay. And that's not me like talking myself up. The reason it sells out so fast is it's part of your member benefit. If you have a higher level membership at the Chamber, you get comp tickets.
Oh, I see.
So out of the 400 plus tickets that we have, we only have like 120 to sell.
To actually sell, right?
Yes. Okay. And it's Juno's largest black tie event. So people like to come to it. So it does sell out super quick. We have live music this year. We have an auction, of course. We're raffling off. It's a really, really awesome prize package. And the only people that can buy those raffle tickets are the people who are in that room. So your odds are really good.
Oh.
So it's our biggest fundraiser of the year outside of the truck raffle, but it's also my favorite one.
Yeah, well, obviously, if you have a background in hospitality and things like that, that would be something that you would be geared for.
Yes.
Right? It's kind of cool. And these are both of these that were mentioned, the truck event, which is on September 7th, and then the dinner, which is the chamber dinner, which is on October 12th. Those are both, as you said, fundraisers for the chamber, which is a nonprofit organization. It does support for-profit businesses and helps, you know, to navigate those. But it's also great for, and we're talking about these entrepreneurs, these young people, young folks, or young entrepreneurs, young business owners. They don't necessarily be young in age, but maybe they're a young business owner. And the chamber has a lot of resources for them, right? And they can find that out by going to the website or calling you, or what's the best way for somebody who's interested in learning more about business?
JunoChamber.com is a great place to start. But if you just want to have a conversation, I'm always willing to talk to any young business person. We also house SBDC here. So the Small Business Development Center for this for the town is in our office. A woman named Sandy works out of there, but we connect people to her. So if they need help with their business plan, if they just have an idea and don't know where to start, they can start with her. And then hopefully when she's done with them, they'll become members of the chamber.
I see. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. Gotcha. Yeah. That's great. There's so many resources like that for folks. There's the chamber, like you said, the Small Business Development Center, Spruce Root does their really cool Path to Prosperity program. We just had somebody in about that last week, which was really fun. And so, yeah, it's a great time for people to get out there. I feel like after the COVID kind of brought us all down a little bit and businesses closed and different things weren't happening. And do you feel like from your viewpoint from the chamber, do you feel like we're sort of on a good upswing?
I think we are. And we are seeing that in businesses too, right? So, and you're seeing more things open. You brought up Dave's Food Court, but we also have a food court in the Valley now.
I love that place.
Yeah. So I
think the Birria tacos at the truck there are amazing.
It's right next to my office. I have to like control myself. But, you know, we do. We have great things happening in the community and I'm really excited. And I want to plug Spruce Roots and JDC and the chamber. We're getting together for it's the first week in October. It's Entrepreneur Week. Mm. And we're going to have a mixer. So when I talk to you next time, I'll have some more information about
awesome.
Our mixer.
Okay.
There'll for be a entrepreneurs.
Mixer. Entrepreneurs. And that'd be anybody would be invited to that. And all the groups will be there.
JDC, yeah. And it's going to be free. We're going to sponsor it. There's going to be door prizes, adult beverages. So I'll have all the good details next time I'm here.
Awesome. Well, we'll see you next month, Maggie. Thank you so much for coming in and telling us all about it. It's the Juno Chamber of Commerce at JunoChamber.com. Next Saturday, the 7th, is the drawing for the truck. It's a big raffle and fundraiser. The Taffy Dance team will be there. There's a grill. There's all kinds of fun stuff. There's music, cotton candy. And you can still get tickets for that at JunoChamber.com. And then the dinner is on October 12th. It's a big ticketed event. It's a large black tie fundraiser for the chamber. And those tickets, Maggie said, we're going to go on sale in just a couple weeks. So keep an eye out because they go quick.
Yes.
So thank you so much, Maggie. It's really nice to have you in the studio again. Goodness cheese.
Thank you.
That'll do it for today's Juno Afternoon. On tomorrow's show, Juno Lyric Opera's Who's Your Diva event, plus a preview of some upcoming events happening around Juno this weekend, including the Whiskey Class Band's album release party at the Alaskan. Juno Afternoon airs Wednesday through Friday at 3 p.m. right here on KTOO Juno 104.3 and KAUK Juno Ock Bay 91.7. Find the show online at kto.org/JunoAfternoon. Where you can listen to episodes, subscribe to the podcast, or find out how to be a guest on the show. Our theme music is by Indian Agent. I'm Boston Christopher, producer and host of the program, with help today from Aaron Tripp. Gunath Cheesh, and have a fantastic Juno evening.